720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue on another beautiful Saturday as we gear up, get ready, and have immersed ourselves into Chicago gourmet when it comes to road trips. And I know last week, race intensive, we had a lot of the drivers on, a lot of everything going on, and excited for our winners. And congratulations again for everybody who took part in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 400 and got a chance to see some of their favorite personalities out at Chicagoland Speedway. When it comes to road trips in Chicago, the number one road trip for food fans is Chicago Gourmet of the entire year. And so stay tuned throughout the course of the program. We're going to have check-ins from Dave Hammond from New City. We are going to have Tony Montuano, who over at River Roast, him and John Hogan, those chefs, ended up winning Hamburger Hop. So big props to them. I'm not sure where you, when you've won the James Beard Award and you've got other things, I'm not sure where Hamburger Hop fits on the totem pole of priorities on the resume, but excited guys. And it's all part of that kickoff that is so much fun for Chicago Gourmet. We're also going to have Doug Duda in studio. You know him from A&E as the well-seasoned traveler and part of the Oxford Food Symposium. He is going to join us, made a road trip here for that coming up next week, as well as Cochon 555's Grand Cochon, which is in Chicago for the very first time. And when it comes to cars, you're going to get out there, you're going to take a road trip to your favorite restaurant or wherever. The Mecum Auto Auction is coming to Chicago and out in Schaumburg, I think about the 5th through the 7th of October. We're going to have tickets for you, comp tickets for you to get in there and see it along with all the viewers on NBC Sports as well. When it comes to Chicago Gourmet and you blend, and Lisa's talking about she's heading to the ballpark up at, what'd you say, Miller Field right there?
Whatever.
Right, because we get kind of itchy when people call it like Wrigley Stadium, and we'll be out at Wrigley Field as Chicago Gourmet is embracing all things Cubs and ballpark fair with their event, Ballpark Fair Goes Gourmet. Front and center for that event, along with so many great chefs, is the chef that we've got on the line. Here he is, the owner and chef of Acadia, highly acclaimed, and he'll be out there at Wrigley Field with us, Chef Ryan McCaskey. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you. Appreciate it.
So, Chef, I mean, I think anytime people get, and you know from, you know, the reviews and the accolades, well-deserved, people love what it is you do. It's a, you know, casual American fare with the whole kind of coastal Maine feel to it. But do you get excited about sports? Because people are going to have you and a bunch of other chefs taking a little bit of a different spin on the ballpark food tonight.
Oh, yeah. I love sports. I grew up watching football. I remember those days when I was probably 7, 8 years old, and Sunday morning rolled around, and I had to get up at 11:30 because it was time to watch the Bears, and especially games like Bears-Packers, and I was kind of taught to hate the Packers, actually.
You must
hate this team, young little Ryan.
In general, as kind of our advice to the masses and our great listening audience, you should never teach hate unless, of course, it's directed towards the Packers. Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly. Well, yes.
Well, in this day and age, people are loving not only what's happening on the field at Wrigley Field with the Cubs, they are the World Series champions, but also loving what happens at the ballpark. Wrigley has done a couple different initiatives with chefs over the last couple years and for this event. So taking what it is you do, I mean, you don't have to let the cat out of the bag, but what was your kind of mindset and thought process as you prepared for tonight?
I just wanted to keep it fun and do some food that is Maine-inspired in what we do here at Acadia, but also have fun with it. You know, I've been a huge Cubs fan as a child as well, being, you know, at the stadium with Wrigley with my grandfather and my uncle and my dad way back in the day, and I still love it. That was just part of growing up as a kid is, you know, trekking down to Chicago. I grew up in the northwest suburbs and seeing games, so you know, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be out in front and, you know, just in that electric environment around that whole neighborhood.
It's going to be a blast. Jason Vincent's going to be out there with you. A number of different chefs. I think Jeff Morrow is going to be out there with you as well. I mean, there's got to be like 10 or so different chefs.
Right.
We'll have them all up at WGNradio.com. People will see them as well. But let's talk a little bit about Acadia. You know, to a person, everyone who gets there is, I don't want to say blown away, but like super pleasantly surprised, really blown away by what it is they find when they get there. Now, Northwest Suburbs, you know, you've got a lot of the right you know, allegiances when it comes to the teams. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the cuisine of Maine, what is it about that said to you, I need to build my entire restaurant situation around it, and really kind of had you gravitate toward it on the food side?
Sure. Well, when I was younger, we spent a lot of time as a family out in Maine. You know, I gravitated not only to the area because it was beautiful and serene, you know, serene and scenic and everything like that, but the people out there I just thought were really nice and you know, opened my eyes to a lot of different arts and then especially the product, the stuff that was coming from the source, you know, things like lobsters and crab and mussels and stuff like that. And I'd never really experienced that before, especially obviously being here in the Midwest. So that was a huge eye opener. And as I got older and my parents, you know, ended up getting a house out there, and I spent more and more time. So when I thought about the concept for my restaurant, I thought it'd be easy to just kind of, you know, give a little homage to my second home. And then the other tie-in was, well, hey, now that, you know, it's themed sort of, you know, or an homage to Acadia and the area out in Maine, why don't we just get products straight from there? I'd made those relationships with fishermen and locals for all those years, so it was easy to call them up and say, hey, remember me? I used to be that little kid that used to hang out and play with your son and stuff like that, or ride bikes or whatever, and now I'm an adult, I have a restaurant, and can I buy lobster from you? So I kept those relationships over all these years.
Well, just as your kind of instincts kind of led you towards that, the accolades have been there as well, Michelin stars, and of course, so many great satisfied diners that are excited to share that as well, just as you're going to be sharing stuff while you're at Wrigley. And Acadia, I know it's at 1639 South Wabash. And if you've got a website there for people, because maybe they'll see you tonight, or they're certainly hearing about it today, but maybe come out and visit you.
Yeah, we are located at 1639 South Wabash, between 16th and 18th on Wabash. The website is acadiachicago.com.
And then Chef Ryan McCaskey, do you have any social media or anything you want to share for people to catch up with your adventures?
You know, I post on our Facebook page. You can follow along. I'm pretty active on there. And then, of course, on Instagram, I do my best, though I'm not I'm not a huge Instagram guy. I'm trying to catch up with the times.
That's okay.
But we are at Acadia Chicago on Instagram.
And you will be, whether you're social media, that's okay. You know, I don't have a lot of time for that either. So you and I are both in the same boat.
Right.
But we'll both be out at the Ballpark Fair Goes Gourmet at Wrigley Field. And the very, very last thing, do you think you may duck out at all and kind of sneak into the field and kind of check things out, maybe sit in the dugout a little bit while you're there?
Oh, if the opportunity presents itself, I'd love to. I mean, I always thought, I think maybe I was in second grade, I always thought, man, one day I want to see if I could hit a ball out of this park. Am I that strong, you know, at second grade? So even just being on the field or around the field or in the dugout, whatever we're allowed to do, I think that would be a thrill for me.
Well, you know, you and the other chefs are going to be hitting culinary home runs, I had to say it, all night tonight out there. So excited to see you tonight, and thanks for taking time and being on WGN today.
Great. Yep. See you out there. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. That's Chef Ryan McCaskey from Acadia. He will be one of the many chefs. We'll list them all as we get a little bit later on in the program that are going to be at Ballpark Fair Goes Gourmet at Wrigley Field. And you'll be making that road trip in to see that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the ultimate road trip for the family is Disney. The food of Disney is going to be highlighted as Marcy Smothers shares her new book, Eat Like Walt. So stay tuned. It's On the Road here on 720 WGN.
And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents...
Hi, I'm Marcy Carricker Smothers, the author of Eat Like Walt, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line, we have acclaimed food personality, radio host, and author with her current book, sharing the fun, flavors, and of course, food of Disney. Calling from Wine Country, the one and only Marcy Smothers. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you, Dane. Great to chat with you.
Well, it's great to have you on. It's always great to have you on. It's always great whenever we get an opportunity to talk. This is an extra special and amazingly wonderful reason, as you have written the book, Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food. Now, everybody loves Disney, and you know a lot of, you know, our contemporaries, and I think the vast population of the world as a whole loves food. But for this book, what was it about the Disney food and maybe that history and legacy that made you write the book?
Well, I love Disneyland, and I'm a proud Disney geek and a day one D23 member. So if I could have any reason to write a book about Disneyland, I wanted it. And naturally, being a food person, I was looking at food. But my agent actually charged me. He said, there are so many bloggers blogging about the food. You need to find an angle that's unique. And so I started in doing my research I found this obscure insert from 1955 from a local newspaper where Walt said, "Welcome to the Kingdom of Good Eating, where the food is as fabulous as the fun." And I still get goosebumps every time I say that, because then I knew that I had a proof of concept that Walt had intended the food experience at Disneyland to be as immersive and entertaining as the attractions themselves. So I wrote a proposal with the help of a few Imagineer friends to sit in me. And that helps because, you know, there's so much misinformation out there. This is before I had sold the book. And I wrote the proposal. It got to the Disney editions, and I sold the book. And that's really the key thing, because without the archives, the four archives and the help of the Disney company, I could never write the book. So it is a time capsule of Walt's life. You've got a copy of the book. I think it's exquisitely beautiful. It was designed, and I call it Mid-Century Masculine to reflect Walt. So it's a time capsule of his life. It ends when he passes away, or just after, in 1967, when the three restaurants he championed in New Orleans Squares opened. But every image in that book, whether it be a photograph or concept art or a painting, 90% have never been seen before in the entire world.
Wow.
And I think that, yeah, and I think what makes this book so unique is, as I was researching it, I realized it's a bigger story than just Disneyland. It's Walt at home and Walt at the studio, because in 1940, he had four state-of-the-art restaurants, and they were all subsidized like we hear at Pixar and Google and Amazon do now. But he did that because all the other little studios that he had, although, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was made before, never had restaurants or commissaries on the lot. So it's a comprehensive look at a simple, wonderful man, Walt Disney, with brilliance through the lens of food. And so it's intimate, you know, food's intimate. And so is, you know, the story's about Walt. I don't think most of them have ever been out there.
No, you think about this, and so many people that are excited about Disney love that history of Disney as well, and they love to be able to get back there, see the origins of it, and certainly the times when he was around. On the food side, that is something. If you mention in the photographs in the book, it is beautiful. I've got to tell the listeners, get out there and get it. Just for the visuals alone, it is definitely worth it. But on the food side, to have that, because here's the thing. You know, we talk about food festivals. People think of kind of the elevated food festival, especially at an amusement park situation. You have characters and rides, things. We think of that as being relatively recent, that it has been, you know, something that has been front of mind. To hear that was a thought process from the beginning, back when people are kind of inventing like the microwave and TV dinners and everything quick, to have him thinking about that and have you documenting it is amazing.
It was an innovation when Disneyland opened. And also, part of the fun of the book is, you know, now you can eat like Walt. Walt wasn't a fancy eater, but every recipe in the book, there's about 35 of them, are all vintage of Walt's era. Never been published from his home. Recipes from the studio, and then recipes from Disneyland, such as the Tahitian Terrace's ribs, which are up on my website, eatlikewalt.com, and you can get one of the vintage recipes and actually see some images of what the Tahitian Terrace looked like back in Walt's day. So, you know, what I really wanted this to be the type of book that you could look at and think it's beautiful, read, it's 50,000 words and 2 years of research and history, or and cook and eat like Walt. And when you do, please get some, you know, whether you use Sonos or Spotify or Pandora, listen to some Disneyland music, put it on, and you got to have the whole thing, just like Walt would. I mean, I even have his granddaughters, very cool, very helpful with the book, as was the Walt Disney Family Museum. We were sitting one day talking, and I said, "Tell me what you would see when you would open your grandfather's refrigerator." And they start rattling all the stuff up, and it was just so commonplace to them. And I'm like, "Stop, shut the door," and I put the recorder closer to him, because I know exactly, and it's in the book, what Walt had at home. And, you know, one of my favorite stories in the book, so it's a great way to get to know Walt, get personal with Walt. And I'd like to add, Dean, that something that really guided me tremendously, Herb Ryman, who is the artist that drew Disneyland in 48 hours with Walt by his side in 1954, he said in an interview, because everyone in my book knew Walt, there's no third person.
Wow.
Herb's passed away, but he said this: "It's for people like yourself to have the privilege and duty of presenting Walt as a human being, a person that can be known, somebody you can be close to." And I was feeling that while I was writing it, but when I read Herb Ryman's words, I knew that was it. It presents Walt as a human being. It doesn't deify him, but it lets you know who he was as a person through the lens of food.
Yeah, and to have him kind of represented in that food space is, I think, not only very unique, but also very, very cool. So I think it'll be the kind of thing that people who are fans of Disney in general will absolutely love. Food fans and foodies are going to love it as well. Now, Marcy, I know that you're a Disney fan, and I've known some of the, like Robert Gilbert, who's the executive chef down there at Disney World for the Magic Kingdom, that recently, in X amount of years, they've looked to try to kind of elevate the food even more, right, and have either fine dining spaces or some of the themes stuff in there. Have you gotten a chance to head and what do you think of the food, you know, at the parks these days?
Well, it's a great question. I'm actually with Walt Disney World. It may be the next book I do, Walt's Plan. It's called Project X, all the way through to Epcot. Definitely by the time Walt Disney World, you know, 65 when he started planning Walt Disney World. And by the way, it's always called Walt Disney World because there wouldn't be a Disney World without Walt, and it's an important distinction, you know, for fans.
Absolutely.
So with Walt Disney World, Walt died, in 1966, but he was also having Imagineers plan the food. So you saw that go forward to Walt Disney World, whether it be, you know, the Mickey Mouse-shaped ice cream or any of the other kind of iconic foods. With regards to elevation, it's 100% you're right. I mean, even Disney 10 years ago when they started the Healthy Food Initiative, they were changing the stuff in the parks, right? For the kids, it's not soda now, it's milk, and you get sort of fries, you get apples and all sorts of things to eat healthier in the parks. And then particularly the resort side at Disneyland, where I'm closer to in California, Andrew Sutton, the food he is serving at Napa Rose and at Holiday Circle and Disney California Adventure, if they had Michelin stars in L.A., he would get one. They don't have Michelin stars in L.A. He is that good of a cook. He deserves a James Beard Award. If they had a category for resorts and wineries, they should add. So I can't speak as much to Walt Disney World because I'll be there for my book launch September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And I'll have a chance to try more of the food, but I read all about it. And I think it's part of the thing is you can do everything at Walt Disney World. It's a whole family experience, and you can eat really well, whether it's a great hot dog or, you know, Victoria and Albert's, which is one of their famous steakhouses.
Yeah, and you think about, like, Epcot Food and Wine, ways that they've incorporated. You mentioned the launch of the book, kind of the debut of it. There is a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz generated for it, because this is, you know, as exciting as a book in general can be, this one has a built-in, you know, global fan base. So, Marcy, let people know, like, what does it take to get out there and adequately support a book like this? This is going to be huge.
Well, first of all, Dane, thank you for your support. I'm just so excited to bring it to the world and so excited to present Walt this way. So you can go to my website, eatlikewalt.com. There's all sorts of fun things to do there, including looking at the images of what the park looked like in Walt's day, the restaurants in Walt's day versus today. On eatlikewalt.com, there's a direct link to Amazon. But I really want to encourage people to start hanging out at eatlikewalt.com. There's all sorts of fun surprises there. And, again, it'll give you a little bit of an immersive experience like Walt was like and entertain you while you order my book.
A fresh look at one of our iconic and most beloved figures, I want to say in the world, but certainly here in America as well. And then to do it through that lens, like you said, of food is exceptional. So one more time with the website before we let you go.
It's Eat Like Walt, all one word, eatlikewalt.com.
Marcy Smothers, you know, always active, always doing some great things, and now doing something I think that everybody is going to be able to enjoy in their own homes as they get that book. Marcy, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being on WGN today.
Thank you, Dane. All the best.
Hi, this is Dave Majors, and I'm the CEO of Nikum Auto Auctions, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here at the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And over the course of the spring and summer, we have visited some of the best cruise nights, car shows all around the Chicagoland area. We've talked to those people doing modifications and customizing cars, and we've talked to a lot of people who've had some classic cars, including some of the favorites of rock stars, actors, or of course a lot of the drivers of NASCAR and the Indy Racing League. Well, a lot of cars, great cars, are coming to the Chicagoland area. It is the 30th anniversary of the Mecum Auto Auctions, and they're going to be bringing a bunch of cars, not only for people to see, love, and enjoy, reminisce about, but also to buy and to leave and take home with you. It doesn't happen every day, but it is coming October 5th through the 7th. To Schomburg on the line with us, we've got the CEO of the Mecum Auto Auctions, the one and only Dave Majors. Dave, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Excited to be here and very excited to be bringing Mecum Auctions back to Chicago to the Schaumburg Convention Center in October.
Yeah, well, when you think of a central location, we call, you know, Chicago, Chicago City proper. We're here on Michigan Avenue, but it's Chicagoland. And Schaumburg is one of those great places to have this kind of stuff. Not only the convention center, which is a world-class facility that they've built out there, but the fact that it's got access from all of those different expressways. I mean, you can get to Schaumburg from anywhere, and you can get from Schaumburg to anywhere in maybe about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it works out as a great location for us. It's a beautiful facility, fits what we do very well, and it's right there at the intersection of, you know, 53 and I-90 and 290, and, you know, whatever road you take, it kind of ends up in Schaumburg.
Yep, so a lot of people are going to end up in Schaumburg, certainly car enthusiasts, motorsports fans, and just fans of classic cars and some of those great vehicles. They're going to be out there to see us. So let's talk a little bit about traveling the country with the show, bringing this kind of stuff to great cities and municipalities, markets around the country. Talk a little bit about it. You're based in, I think, Wisconsin, right? You're just a little bit over the border in Walworth. But what is it about auctions? What is it about what you do that people get so excited about?
Well, there's great entertainment in the auction business. We are American tobacco style auctioneers, as it's described, which means it's very fast, it's very loud, it's very entertaining, it's very exciting. And so, you know, whether you're a seller or a bidder or just a spectator or you watch it on TV, regardless of how you access, it's great entertainment, and it's all built around beautiful cars.
I find myself watching these auctions, whether it's Mecum or one of the others that are out there as well. I don't know that you could put it on paper and kind of pitch it as a television show and say, hey, this works, but it does. I think part of it is, like you said, the excitement that you bring to it. You know that people in the audience are going home with their dream car. Plus, it's pretty fast paced, and you see a lot of your own dream cars out there.
Yeah, and what I hear so often is that particularly the TV show becomes addicting. It's, you know, I watched a couple of cars, and then I wanted to watch the next one, and then I wanted to see the next one, and pretty soon you've watched it for 3 hours, which, of course, we really like.
So Dave, when you come to Schaumburg, what kind of cars are going to be there? I'm sure there's a lot of people bringing in cars maybe from the local area, but you've also got some collections, too, some collectors who've brought them to market.
Yeah, and Schaumburg's always been a great event for us. It, by the way, is the 11th event on a 14-event tour for us in 2017, where we'll bring about 15,000 cars to auction over the course of 2017 for about $500 million. And 1,000 of those cars are going to be in Chicago. We bill ourselves, rightfully so, as the collector car auction company for everybody. So regardless of what year, what make, what model, what size your pocketbook, you know, there'll be something for you at a Mecum auction. And, of course, then it's always highlighted by several spectacular collections. And we have a great lineup of collections again, you know, this year, headed by probably one of the most prominent collectors in the Chicago area, Larry Claremont, 90-year-old from Chicago, who's been collecting cars most of his life, was recently inducted into the Chicago Realtors Association Hall of Fame, so very well known in the Chicago area, great collector, great cars, and he's bringing about 40 cars to the Chicago auction.
Wow. Okay, so an opportunity to see some collections that are legendary, that have been out there, people know they exist, and see some of those people, kind of commiserate with other collectors as well. Do you find that too? Is that, you know, because we see here, you know, on the program and certainly at the cruise nights and car shows, that as much as the attention goes to the cars, and deservedly, that when you get these people in the room, they can't help but talk cars.
Everybody likes to talk about their cars, and our events turn into, you know, almost like a family reunion for car enthusiasts. When we go to a particular location, you know, we tend to go there the same weekend every year, and people count on that. It's, you know, you hear them leave and they say to their friends, I'll see you back here next year, same weekend. So it's an opportunity for car enthusiasts to get together and talk about cars and see cars and watch the auction and just have an entire weekend that's nothing but auto.
And let the listeners know we're talking with Dave Majors. He is the CEO of Mecum Auto Auctions, coming to the Chicagoland area, specifically to Schaumburg, the 5th through the 7th out there at the convention center. So people, I know, once they figure out who you are and what you do, they come up and talk about some cars. So what are some of the ones that, you know, that you have? I'm sure you see a number of kind of fan favorites on a regular basis, but what are some of the ones that you get excited about?
Well, I fall in love, if we have 1,000 cars at an auction, I probably fall in love 900 times before the auction's over.
Right.
And I do tend to drag some home myself, and it's kind of typical of other car collectors. We're all drawn to those cars that we had on our wall when we were in high school, or the car that you had in high school and wish you never sold, or the car you wanted in high school and couldn't afford. And so I, you know, my first car was a 1965 289 Mustang, maroon convertible with a white convertible top. And I've always been a Mustang person, I think, just because that was my first car. So I tend to fall in love with the Boss 302s and the Mach 1s and the Shelby GT500s. But like I said, that's just a handful of, you know, walking through and falling in love with 90% of the cars that are in the auction.
Oh, see, those are great. Well, Mustangs always have a lot of fans. You've always got a lot of fans on the muscle car side as well. And then, you know, Corvettes, you know, they've got a certain fan base and things like that. If you had to describe it, the 1,000 cars that are going to be there, is there a range? You know, is it everything from some of the old, you know, Model T type cars all the way to things that are a little more current, maybe collector Corvettes or something like that?
Well, predominantly what we do are American muscle cars from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So you always see a heavy concentration with those particular cars. And of course, we're very well known for Corvettes. So if you take 50s, 60s, 70s, throw in Corvettes of all years, that's what you're going to see most of at Mecham Auctions. But, you know, that being said, I think the Larry Claremont collection is pretty indicative of what you see at Mecham Auctions. He's bringing a 1902 Wells Fargo Stagecoach.
Wow.
And he's also bringing a 2010 Tesla Roadster. So he's pretty much got it covered from one end to the other and everything in between, and that's pretty much what you'll see at a Mecham Auctions is, you know, pre-war, early 1900s, late model exotics, American muscle cars. It's all here.
Wow. So everything from our current environmentally friendly cars like the Teslas and then the really, really environmentally friendly like the Stagecoach. You've got that entire...
Unless you're following your horses along, I'm not sure how environmentally friendly that is.
I guess it's all subjective. We know those stories are great. We know it too. Like our family has a 1970 Hemi Cuda. My stepdad has had it since 1971, so he's had it this entire time. So you mentioned those stories of the car that you had that got away. That's one that we hear on a regular basis. Well, people are going to be able to get out there. They're going to be able to see the cars of their dreams, go home with them as well, coming up the 5th through the 7th in Schaumburg. And get this, and thanks to you guys and Dave and Mecham Auto Auctions, we're going to have some tickets to give away for listeners as well. And when you think about fans, cars have a lot of fans right here. We are the station for the Chicago Blackhawks. That you've got a couple reasons why people should be extra excited coming up.
Yeah, and we're very excited once again. This is somewhat of a home game for us since we are in Wisconsin. And I'm a big Blackhawks fan, as are many of our employees and customers. And so we have a special deal on Friday, the 6th, for any Blackhawks fans that wear Blackhawks garb to the auction, get in for $10.
So Blackhawks garb, you get in for $10 instead of what is the regular price for admission?
The regular is $30, and we're also going to have... Jim Cornelison, who's the national anthem singer for the Blackhawks, very good friend of mine,
nice. Is
going to come and sing the national anthem. And I think last year we had Jay Blunk, who's the EVP from the Hawks, and John McDonough, who's the CEO of the Hawks, all at the event. And they brought a very nice Chicago Blackhawks VIP travel package that they auctioned off for a Blackhawks charity as well.
Oh, how cool is that? Now, do you have them kind of lean up? Because everybody loves cars. I don't care, you know, what line of work you're in, and people kind of hit them up for tickets. Do they ever say, like, hey, Dave, you know, can you set this car aside for me? Do they ever have ones that they try to get in on?
I'm trying to push them into that. Jay Blunk, who's the EVP at the Blackhawks, and I graduated from Illinois State University, both, and we both graduated from the same high school, although he's a little younger than I am, so... I keep telling him just to support me and our alma maters, he needs to be in the car business.
Well, Dave, also, too, is, you know, in your undying support of higher education and try to further education and people to be able to kind of identify with their own universities, is that for Illinois State, you have a deal for alums there, too, or people that even show support and spirit for it, right?
Yeah, we're doing a couple of things for Illinois State University. I'm an alum, so I'm biased. Wednesday night before the auction starts for Chicago alums, we're having a private preview party. President Larry Dietz from the university will be there to speak, as will I. And then also on Friday, we're doing the same thing that we're doing with Blackhawks. If you wear Illinois State University garb to the auction, you get in for $10.
so many great ways to get there, obviously, because it is centrally located right in Schaumburg. And we've got some tickets we'll be giving away before the end of the program as well. And if you're a Blackhawks fan or if you're an Illinois State fan, you can get in and get in on those deals at the same time. So, Dave, before we let you go, give the website out for people to see some of those collections, some of the cars are going to be on hand and featured, and how they can get their tickets and come out and see you.
You can see all of the beautiful cars coming to Chicago, as well as all of our auctions and specifically the collections highlighted at www.mecum.com.
He is Dave Majors. He is the CEO of the Mecum Auto Auctions. And so, Dave, we look forward to seeing you. And thanks so much for what you're doing and being on WGN today.
Well, thanks much. And I look forward to seeing you at the auction.
Yeah! I just want to tell you right now that...
Hi, this is Stephanie Izard, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I really do believe that something's got a hold on me here. Oh,
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And as we get into some of these great days for food and food fans, definitely worth the road trip wherever you're coming from in our listening audience. Get yourself to Chicago Gourmet. And this event coming up next weekend is October 1st. It is one of my absolute favorite events. And you know this, if you've listened to any of the stuff that we've done over the years, you know that Cochon is one of my absolute favorite events. And for a good reason, it is the, I think, bar none, the best food tour in America, traveling maybe the world. And it comes to Chicago usually every year. And now we have the distinct pleasure, I would say the honor, of being the home for Grand Cochon. Typically, I will attend or be there, and it is usually in conjunction with the Food and Wine Classic at Aspen. This year, for the first time ever, all of those winning chefs from around the country are going to be located in Chicago for Grand Cochon on October 1st. And it wouldn't be without this guy, the visionary force behind the entire movement, and the man with the plan coming up for Cochon is the one and only Brady Lowe. Brady, welcome to WGN.
Thanks, Dane.
Look,
how you doing?
I'm doing okay. So you're there in Command Central. You are there. You've got your charts, your graphs. You've got some a pointer, probably, and you're planning out what is going to be the biggest thing Chicago has seen when it comes to Cochon.
Yeah, we're excited. It's it's a big thing for us to be bringing a national competition to Chicago. You know, it's like bringing the James Beard. I mean, it's a great city. It's one of the leading culinary markets. And to have the opportunity to go across the country and find 14 of the best whole pig chefs and bring them all to Chicago to find a winner. This is like the Super Bowl of pork.
It is absolutely the Super Bowl of swine. It is going to be happening right here. So a little bit about the thought process. You know, Chicago, we're obviously excited and proud of our food scene, and so many good things are happening. A lot of chefs, great restaurants, accolades. I think Bon Appetit said it was the number one restaurant city. We don't need them to necessarily tell us that, but you're all around the country all year with these events. What is it about Chicago that made you decide to make this move this year?
It's got a really great vibe. I mean, from the way that people cover things in the press and the media and the conversation that supports local family and independent business and small family farmers, you know, kind of being in the cradle is a really big part of the tour and our message. So we've got this really, you know, vibrant culinary scene in Chicago, and then you attach like really edgy and amazing, you know, friends in the media and everybody's talking about it. And it really kind of sets it up between like New York and LA as really this kind of the best place to do the event, you know, and there's nowhere else I think people will understand more about family farming than in Chicago.
Yeah, no, I think you're hitting on it there. You know, the chefs over the years that are here in Chicago, it is pretty regular where we'll have a chef come out of the Chicago Cochon 555 event and then represent and maybe become the King of Pork. I know Jason Vincent did that not too many years ago. And so the chefs here are really excited about it. And as you kind of mentioned, they totally get it. So we're excited about it here, but also we're excited to kind of share Chicago with those chefs from around the country that are going to come in here and compete. So give the listeners in the couple minutes we've got a kind of a little, teaser on some of these chefs that are coming in from those cities around the country.
Yeah, and this is great because, you know, I mean, first we've got Ricardo Harquin, who's over at Travel. So he's kind of going for the Chicago title like Jason Vincent from Giant did a few years ago. But, I mean, knocking out from other cities. I mean, we've got an amazing chef, Kalen, from Nashville, who's coming in. We've got Jonathan Granada from OTM in L.A. Gray Nonis was on the hit list. He's out of Minneapolis. Gosh, I mean, there's just so many amazing, like Manobu Horochi, Hori-san, he's out of Houston, one of the best sushi restaurants in the country. Mitch Myers from The Lark. We've got Drew Van Leuven from Seven Lamps in Atlanta. Evan Leroy, who's like one of the biggest pit masters in the country, coming in from Austin. Jordan Cao from Aina Restaurant in San Francisco. I mean, that's like, you know, there's a few Hawaiian restaurants that are really like pushing the envelope right now. And they are definitely one of them. They just got like 2 stars. So we've got this like amazing lineup, you know what I mean? And then we've got Paulo da Silva from Miami and Nicole Goddard from Saxon and Pearl in New York City. It's going to be a competition, you know, it's fierce. So we've got a lot of chefs who are coming in to really kind of show what they can do. And each of them cook 3 bites. And if you get all those chefs cooking their best 3 bites with the hopes of winning a trip to Spain and a couple $1,000 grill and some great prizes, I mean, and just even all the just breaking rights.
Yes.
You know, like everybody puts their best in. It's an amazing event.
It is total bragging rights for the chefs. They take it seriously. It is very, very important to them. But also bragging rights for those people here that are going to get to get out there and attend it, get some of those bites, enjoy the event with you. I know we're going to be talking a number of times, have some of the chefs on over this week as we close in on Grand Cajon coming up next Sunday. But before we let you go in the last couple 30 seconds, can give information how people can see it. I know it's going to be, I think, at Morgan Manufacturing, right? The website where people can get information about the chefs, the event, get tickets, and come out and be with us.
Yeah, for sure. So the VIP ticket is a 5 p.m. start time, and that's $225. You've got a general admission for $150. That starts 55 minutes later. And in that 55 minutes, you basically get like 20 more courses. I mean, it's really just getting that extra hour of eating in. And you know, and less people, but we've got tomahawk steaks, we've got Shake Shack, we've got 13 chefs cooking whole pig, we've got, I mean, tartar bars. I mean, the food is endless. And if you want to get tickets, all you got to do is just jump on the website at cochon555.com, and that's spelled cochon555.com. And tickets are available for, I mean, there's a whole weekend of events. We've got Punch Kings. We've got a ton of stuff going on.
It is going to be a ton of stuff. We're going to, and I'm excited to highlight and help highlight some of that over the course of the week as we get closer. You'll be in town starting mid next week, and we'll definitely have you in studio as well. It's great to have Grand Cajon, the one and only here in Chicago. Cajon555.com for tickets and information on everything. And Brady, we're going to let you go and get back to doing what it is that you're doing on the planning side. And thanks for jumping on today.
Thanks, Dane. Really appreciate it, man. Can't wait to see you.
All right, we'll see you soon. We are going to take a quick break, then we'll come back and send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Michael Simon, and you're On the Road with Dane at WGN. You need cool air,
baby, I'm not fooling. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And I definitely wanted to mention that 312-981-7200 is our text line, our call line. You can call and give the information to Elise. You can text it in as well. Of course, we are doing our Bona Beef bona fide ride of the show. You can text in your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car, and you're going to get that $25 gift card to Bona Beef. Plus, we're going to throw in, if you're interested, 2 tickets to the Mecum Auto Auction coming up in early October, where you can maybe see your dream car there, and maybe, you know, depending on how much overtime you had that week, you could go home with it as well. When it comes to a great road trip, people are making all around the Midwest, certainly the Chicagoland area, making their road trip to Chicago Gourmet for our signature food festival that we have. Some are coming from as far away as, I don't know, the suburbs, and then some are coming from the suburbs of New York, right? And in studio, honored to have with us, we have, and you'll know him as the well-seasoned traveler from A&E. He produces a lot of the shows for the New York Times. He's a trustee for the Oxford Food Symposium. We'll get to that as well. The one and only Doug Duda. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, this is fantastic. What a weekend to be here.
Yeah, right. If you're going to pick a weekend, this would be it. I'm saying like the middle of January sometime, maybe January, February. These are the ones to maybe be busy and have other things to do. But if you're going to be here especially, and, you know, for those people that come in from out of town, it is a little toasty here today, but you've got the architecture, you've got some great early fall weather, and you've got Chicago food.
Yeah, fantastic food. I came in part because of the Friends for the Cure, you know, diabetes, you know, thing that's going on tonight. Great food, prizes and things to win. And, you know, lo and behold, there's not only the Chicago Gourmet going on, but, you know, all kinds of things. Everything's popping here.
Well, it's popping and it's also hopping because when we kick it off, and this has been going on, this is the 10th year for Chicago Gourmet, and I've covered each and every one of the 10 years, which started out, and I'll say it again, you know, for Doug's benefit too. When it first started out, it was a lot more wine, not nearly as much food. I remember Millennium Parks, which still had that beautiful setting there right by the lake. But it was, I remember, you know, Chef Rick Bayless at a card table signing books, in kind of the middle of what was nowhere near as robust as it has been. Of course, 10 years of sold out support from food fans here in Chicago. And it always kicks off with the hamburger hop. You know, we've got a bunch of kids, couldn't get out there to do it. I've certainly covered it and been a part of it for many years. And this year, and it usually is pretty star-studded. You'll see some of those kind of top chefs that would be, you know, on a marquee in there as the judges for the hamburger hop. It's always a lot of fun. And Doug, you got a chance in here, of course, from the East Coast to get out there for the kickoff of really what it is for Chicago Gourmet, the hamburger hop. So I know you had a great time, but kind of share it, right, with the listeners. What was it like?
You know, if you've never been, you got to go because it is an overwhelming experience. It was great to see, you know, old friends there. Carla Hall was there judging and Curtis Stone. You know, so they had top-notch judges. But then the other layer of this is that everybody who's there is a judge. And so we had the wonderful folks from Blue Moon giving us bottle caps to drop into the buckets at each one of the stations. And the big winner, of course, the judge's winner, was River Roast. The People's Choice Award went again, as it did in 2016, to the folks at Bistronomic, who did a knockout job. And it was interesting that, you know, in both cases, both of those, they took not only the hamburger, but a sliver of something really interesting and put it with it. In the case of Bistronomic, they put a sliver of beef tongue. In the case of Harbor House, they put in a little hint of Wagyu beef. And it's surprising how it jazzes it up. It's way more sophisticated than just heaping relishes and all that kind of stuff on top.
It's a tough line to walk, right? Because you have something like a quintessential kind of Midwestern, kind of all-American food, the burger, right? But you have these chefs and you look at the accolades that they have, and they have the ability to kind of step it up and elevate so many different things. But then again, it's the whole less is more. And a lot of times with these, you'll see people making a great diner burger and those will be pretty much successful. And you don't want to go to some of those kind of obvious tricks, you know, just throw some truffle in there, throw a lobster on top of it or whatever, and you've got yourself a winner. So it's cool. Bistronomic, they do a great job. But excited to hear River Roast is a great place. John Hogan, Chef Tony Montuano, you know, one of our treasures here in Chicago, to have them get involved. Because here's the thing, and I know that you saw this and experienced it, as much as all the people love it, and it is a fan favorite, yeah, that it seems like, you know, and they take it seriously, right? There's a lot of bragging rights associated with it, but the chefs are all having a great time.
They're having a fantastic time, and people are dancing, the music is on, it is a party. But it's a party that you have to train for. I mean, you know, you can go in there cold, and believe me, you can have a blast.
So you're going to be like a fine-tuned like culinary athlete, correct?
A little bit. I mean, I've been on both sides of these, you know, just there to have fun and there to judge. And usually when you're judging, you know, let me share it with everybody some tips, you know, from the judges' table. Eat a full meal before you come. And you really need to kind of cleanse your palate in between each one of the tastes, and you have really just a small taste of each one. Of course, last night I'm there. And
did you break your own rules? Did you take your own advice?
I took those rules. I rolled them up in a ball, tossed them out the window, and I had a quarter pound, a burger at each of what, the 16 places. I ate about 4 pounds of burger in 90 minutes, and they wheeled me out in a cart. It was great.
Well, I mean, you're taking a hit for the team, right? You're going to get in there. You're going to try to experience it. Certainly have the educated palate. You can share the view from the judge's side of the table, but also understanding and experiencing what we would, you know, as kind of enthusiast experience as we get in there and do that as well. Plus, and we'll talk about it right after the break when we take a break, is you spent some time at Chicago Gourmet today. Hamburger Hop is just sort of the kickoff festival. Usually it's at the top of the Harris Bank, so it's up on a rooftop, and it's got music and certainly a lot of burgers, and it is kind of that kickoff for it, for this main festival that has, you know, takes up all of Millennium Park, and, you know, it has wine and spirits and foods and so many different chefs and restaurants represented, demos, you know, so many of those things included in your experience at Chicago Gourmet. And Doug, you got a chance to check out some of that today, and we're going to talk about it when we come back from the break. So stay tuned. Plus, hopefully we're going to have the newly crowned, you know, one of them, of course, John Hogan as well, and the team at River Roast, but Hamburger Hop champion Tony Montuano hopefully will join us as well. So quick break. We'll be back right after this. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Mike Joy from NASCAR on Fox. You're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here, Allstate Showcase Studio, Michigan Avenue. So many people have been on the road, and they'll continue to be for the entirety of the weekend as they head towards the ultimate foodie road trip, restaurant road trip for Chicago Gourmet. And, you know, I think everybody who gets to go is a winner. I mean, I think you win if you get to go experience some of Chicago's best, some of these great chefs also that come in from out of town, you know, wines from around the world and some great cuisine done at its best right here at Chicago Gourmet. In studio, we have Doug Duda. You know him from, he's the well-seasoned traveler from A&E. You know him from New York Times, a lot of the films and some of the productions that they put together, and of course is a trustee for the Oxford Food Symposium. And on the line, and we'll have to add this, you've got a James Beard Award winner. You've got certainly, you know, one of our, you know, State Department chefs traveled the world in the name of great food and, of course, freedom, right, for America. But I don't know where you add as far as adding to your titles. You are a Hamburger Hop champion now, along with the great team, Chef Hogan, and the great team at River Roast. So, Tony Montuano, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, sorry. Hey, Dane, how you doing?
I am doing good. I'm sure you're still basking in the glow of the victory. You know, you wonder. I'm surprised probably tonight. Well, I guess it's a Saturday, so it might be Monday that you'll be, you know, on Jimmy Fallon. You'll make those rounds as all champions of Americans, you know, greatest contest do. But let's talk a little bit about it, because I was so pleased to see you guys get that victory.
Well, our strategy was to try to do something different. I mean, think about these poor judges. They're up there trying 15, 16, 17 burgers, and if you just are putting cheese and bacon and in your mouth over and over and over again, not a bad thing, but you need something that cuts through all the clutter, and I think that strategy sort of worked by the route, the recipe, the whole idea of the burger that John and Cedric Harden, who's the executive chef at River Roast, the three of us came together with this idea that's sort of a tribute to our friend Takashi Yagahashi.
Yeah, that Takashi tribute came through loud and clear on the taste, and I really got to hand it to you. I know I talked a little bit afterwards to John, and he made some remarks, you know, when he accepted the award and said, people are piling on stuff, and, you know, let's put something together that really delivers honest taste, and it sure did.
Oh, thank you. I heard that from the other judges as well. It's like, God, this is like stood out. There was no, it was the best choice, and it really worked out great. So, you know, the other thing we did was, besides cooking them on the live charcoal grills, we had like a cast iron pan that we sort of held them at, and until they were ready to put on the bun, which further caramelized the burger, and I think added to that layer, those layers of flavor that we tried to create with the shiso leaves and the mayonnaise, the kewpie mayonnaise with shiitake mushrooms in it. So it was just like layers of freshness is what we were trying to go with.
It's a little bit about it too, and let the listeners know we're talking with one of our favorite chefs here in Chicago, well, one of the world's favorite, Tony Montuano. And for the listeners to kind of understand the difference between, let's say, cooking at your kitchens in River Rose where you control all the elements, or at Spiaggia, to be able to take that and kind of move it to a mobile situation. You brought up trying to maintain temperature in certain ways, but how difficult is that? One of the hardest things to try to represent what it is you want to do and do it out there on that rooftop?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're, first of all, how hot was it last night? You know, you're dealing with that, then let's throw 1,000 people in a tent, and you know, it made for a really fun environment, but there are a lot of uncontrollables, and you have to be experienced at knowing what to do, because that's crazy out there. And then you've got people like wanting a burger right away, so you have to also throw in the speed factor. You got to be fast.
Well, I talked to Carla Hall from The Chew, who was one of the judges, as you know. And I said, you know, what really pushed that burger over the top? And she said, you know, every one of these, you're looking for char. And then you see what else can be done with it. You know, char is kind of something that you can't do without. Where the other things are creative, char is execution. And it takes experience, and it takes, you know, a crew that is disciplined and on the ball. And so you delivered that. It was really, really great textures, not just great taste.
Well, thank you. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, like, you got to season it. You have to use salt and pepper. As simple and as basic as that is, you know, I think John and Cedric and I tasted, like, 8 burgers before we even served our first one. It's like, you need to put more salt on at this point, and at this point, the pepper, and... So that's such an important thing, even in restaurants. It's like, taste what you're giving your guests before it goes out. I mean, I'm not talking about taking a bite of their burger, but, like, you know, little disposable tasting spoons are sort of an absolute thing that we have in all of our restaurants. You need to taste things before they go out.
You know, people are going to be getting, I think, the idea to head over to River Roast in I think, increased numbers as well. This is, like, you know, the kickoff, Hamburger Hop, the kickoff for Chicago Gourmet. You have been such a big part of Chicago Gourmet over the years, and so people will see you out there. So before we let you go, give maybe some places or some things you may be doing over the next day or so out there. And then, of course, give the location for River Roast where people can see you.
So River Roast is right on the river at 350 North LaSalle. So it's LaSalle on the river. It's the best outdoor patio. It's live blues every Saturday and Sunday brunch. And it's all the best blues musicians in the city, because they don't play during the day at their night gigs. So they come and play by us. So that's where, I mean, and we didn't even touch on the great chicken that we have there,
right.
But that's that. But tomorrow night, John Hogan and I and our good friend Jimmy Banos are going to close out the entire Chicago Gourmet Festival with a macaroni and cheese smackdown at 4:30 on the main stage.
Nice.
And I would not miss it if I were you.
I will put my money on Tony Montuano when it comes to certainly fine dining. Obviously, you know, he does that very, very well. But when it comes to some of the iconic basic comfort foods like burgers and macaroni and cheese, you know, nobody does it better. So, Tony, congratulations, and we'll see you tomorrow. And thanks for jumping on the line today.
My pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
All right, so Tony Montuano. So you got a chance to try it. It was really, really good. In the next couple minutes, and you mentioned, you know, that you're here, you're experiencing some of the things. The Diabetes has an event as well that you're supporting, and you got a chance to go to Hamburger Hop. You're going to be here for Chicago Gourmet as well. You've enjoyed some of it. But also leading up, you're going to be here next week for the Oxford Food Symposium. Talk a little bit about that event.
Yeah, the Oxford Food Symposium will be the first chance, I think, since in the 40 years history of the Oxford Symposium on Food and Cookery, which is held at Oxford every year, where there'll be U.S. experience. And you know, as was said many times last night, Chicago is the food city, and so it's appropriate that we be bringing great presenters, great speakers, authors, people who are involved in food in a lot of different ways, not just you know, in the kitchen, or not just at the table, not just at the restaurant, but as food writers, food policy folks, all together to talk about food, to taste it. You know, this is not one of those things, talk instead of eat. It's talk while you eat. And that's always been the heart and soul of the Oxford Symposium, is people who get together, all kinds of different levels, all kinds of different backgrounds, around the table to eat and to discuss.
As one of the trustees for that, it's exciting to have you here and have you and Robert McEwen kind of bringing that here and helping to highlight not only the unique thought process behind it, that whole kind of fresh take on food thought and theory, but also kind of butting up to, in conjunction with, you know, Cushone 555. So Cushone555.com, I think you can get tickets for the event, for the symposium that's going to happen on the 30th, and that's going to be right here in Chicago. We're going to have some interviews up over the course of this week and promote it as well. And do you have a website, too, for the symposium you want to share?
It's the Oxford Symposium on Food and Cookery .org. This is a UK-based organization, and so you can check that out.
Yep. Doug Duda, we'll have all that up at WGNradio.com as well. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Hi, I'm John Forrest, and you're on the road with Dane, WGN. Love your show, and love Jolly App.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was set in the pace? Set stories.
720 WGN on the road with Dane here live, Allstate Showcase Studio this week. Of course, it is Chicago's Chicago Gourmet Weekend. It is the ultimate foodie and restaurant road trip. People are heading in from all over the place. But when you think about kind of road trips, and we've talked about, you know, bicycles, we've talked about just transformative travel, and oftentimes you can't be in a car for that. And sometimes the ultimate road trip is the one that you're making with your feet. And so I think that is important too. Now, Elise, you did a 5K not too long ago, right? And you took your own kind of personal road trip through. It was
the Brookfield Zoo.
Through the Brookfield Zoo. So you got to get at one with nature.
Yes.
Right? You get to explore,
yes,
you know, kind of the world and the animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And do a race as well.
Yeah, it was character building, to say the least. I'm nursing a knee injury. I don't know if it's related, but but maybe Dan will be able to help us.
Oh, I'm sure.
Prevent that for the half marathon.
Well, he'll be able to help us not only know what to do and where to go. There's so many listeners that are thinking, like, I love to run. I want to run. I'm running right now, and I want to know where I can run and not only have a lot of fun, but, of course, you know, support some great causes. On the line, we've got Dan Lankin. He's a senior brand manager for running at Lifetime, and you are one of the organizers of our great 2017 Chicago Half Marathon. Dan, welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
So, Dan, the world of running, your own personal road trip, you get out there, you put your running shoes on, and you're going to take off and do that kind of thing. I don't think there's a better place to do it than Chicago. You know, you've got the architecture. People come from around the world, and they love what it is we have here as far as a setting for some of these things. So let's talk about it. It's coming up. You've got the Chicago Half Marathon, which is 15,000 runners, and they're going to traverse through historic Hyde Park on a traffic-free Lakeshore mm-hmm. Drive, which is not something that you get to see and enjoy on a regular basis. Talk about this race.
Yeah, exactly. So we have about 15,000 runners that'll be stepping off tomorrow morning from Jackson Park on Cornell and Hayes. We'll go around Hyde Park, as you mentioned. It's a unique experience because we are able to close all roads on our course. A lot of times in Chicago, most races are either on the lakefront path or on a trail or what have you. So this is a unique experience. People come from around the world. We have 41 countries represented, as well as all 50 states this year. We get to close down Lakeshore Drive, north and southbound lanes from 31st Street all the way down to 67th. So it's a really unique experience.
Well, this is the 21st year, so it's been going on for quite a while. And it is one of those great opportunities to see the city from that running perspective on Lakeshore Drive. And it is a tune-up for, you know, our great Chicago Marathon, which is usually in October. So you try to pick these dates, I'm sure, to try to make it where you're probably not going to be in the middle of the summer, but we've got some freakishly hot weather. And so for those people that are thinking of and going to be a part of the race with you tomorrow, what are the kind of things that you would give them advice-wise? I stay hydrated, I'm guessing, but are there other things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hydration is key. We ask all runners or anybody that's thinking about running, because registration is still open, to hydrate today, mix it in with some Gatorade or electrolytes so that your body is ready tomorrow morning. The temperature is supposed to be in the 70s tomorrow morning when we start off, but it is going to heat up. So light-colored clothes, be prepared with hydration. Have a race plan, as well as we as race organizers, we will have misting stations out on course, as well as we've extra ice, extra water, and popsicles will be greeting the finishers when they come across the finish line.
15,000 runners are going to be joining you tomorrow for this. And you mentioned that registration is still open. So people hearing this and thinking to themselves, I would love to be a part of it, get involved and see some of this history as you run through the museum campus as well, Lakeshore Drive, Hyde Park and all that. Give a little information how they can do it. So if there's a chance for them to get involved, sure, and do it, and then maybe a little information on, you know, whether they should do it or in what kind of shape they should be in order to attempt, even though it's a half marathon, I don't think I could run a tenth of a marathon, but give your thoughts.
Sure. Well, registration is still open. We're at our Health and Fitness Expo right now at Soldier Field. We're open until 5 o'clock, so participants can come in, register, get their packet, get their bib number, and they're good to go for tomorrow morning. Otherwise, anybody listening to this who can't make it to the Soldier Field, registration is available online at chicagohalfmarathon.com. We do recommend, if you're going to go for the half marathon, that you are trained up for the distance. It's perfect if you're looking to, if you're training for the Chicago Marathon that's coming up in a few weeks, or another fall half marathon. And we do have the 5K that steps off at 7:45 tomorrow morning after our half marathoners start at 7.
Lisa, are you going to be in on that one?
I don't know if I'm going to get over this injury before then. I would love to, though, next year, definitely. It sounds like an awesome.
Dan, I got to tell you, of course, we're speaking with Dan Lankin. He's a senior brand manager for running at Lifetime. As Lise, you know, she's got a bandage on her knee, so she's having a knee issue, so maybe she'll miss it tomorrow, but she's going to get in on it next year, just as people can get in on it tonight and be a part of the race tomorrow. One more time with that website before we let you go.
Sure. It's chicagohalfmarathon.com. If you want to come out and spectate, we welcome spectators to cheer on the runners as well, all along Lakeshore Drive from 31st to 67th Street tomorrow.
Just one of those great things that's happening in Chicago, and our support and a great way to see the city as you get out there and get ready, tune yourself up for that Chicago Marathon. So, Dan, thanks so much for what you're doing. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I won't personally see you tomorrow, but look forward to everyone, those 15,000 people. And thanks for being on the show today.
Certainly. Thank you for having us.
All right, Dan Lankin. Wow, that's like, it's a half marathon, but that's still probably like 12 miles. So it seems a little bit, I mean, you should be kind of tuned up for it. You don't want it to bite off more than you can chew. Plus, it's going to be 90 degrees. I think we should err on the side of caution, right, Lise? And then just relax and maybe spectate and just try to make that determination just on how difficult that would be. And make sure you have some cold water, even if you're going to be just watching the race for tomorrow. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Dave Hammond. He is the dining and drinking editor for New City Magazine, and he is live from Chicago Gourmet. He'll be calling us as well. And remember, your first car, favorite car, or dream car. We talked about the Mika Model Auctions. They're coming. All those cars are going to be available for you. You can see your dream car, and you can buy it and go home with it, too. You can even get in for free if you get tickets. All you have to do is 312-981-7200. Send in your first car, your favorite car, your dream car for a Bona Beef bona fide ride of the show, and you're going to get a $25 gift card from Bona as well. Yes, and Lisa, add your name. So not only the car and then whether you'd want to go to the auction, but also your name, even if it's just your first name, Brad or Lise, right? If it's, you're the only Lise in the world, Lise, so it probably won't be, unless it's you, and then I'd know it would be. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Dave Hammond at 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Joe Mantegna, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN. Come on,
baby, don't you wanna go? 720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase studio. And it is the weekend for the ultimate road trip, the restaurant road trip to Chicago from wherever, for Chicago Gourmet. It is our signature culinary event that brings not only some of the top chefs from around the country to Chicago, but all of our great chefs, which are oftentimes and definitely some of the top ones, to Millennium Park for these great festivities. On the line with us is a guy who one of our very favorites, and he is a Renaissance man in so many different ways, and a culinary adventurer in another. And he is on site. He has adventured his way, road tripped, if you will, to Chicago Gourmet, and he is at Millennium Park. Dave Hammond, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. We've had a really eclectic show, a lot of really fun things, some great chefs. We've even talked some auto auctions as well, so talked some dream cars. And I know that you're a Green Line guy, so you may have taken the train down. So we've gone every mode of transportation. Doug Duda flew in here. Lisa, we just talked with Dan from the Chicago Half Marathon. They're hoofing it. With their gym shoes, 15,000 of them stepping off tomorrow, and then we've got you taking the train. So you're there on site, Dave. What has it been like? A hot, but at least dry. Chicago Gourmet.
It's been hot as a $2 pistol here. It's however, the mood of everyone is really high, due in no small part to the abundant liquor options available here, thanks to the Southern Liquors. The food's been fantastic. Every year, this event has gotten better and better, and I think I've been here every year, and it's in its 10th year now. The first year, there were a few little stumbling blocks, and they've refined it year after year, and I think some of the thanks for that has to go to Isabelle Media, who's been PR repping this event, and they've gotten just a wonderful group of chefs together, a good balance of food and drink, places to hide from the sun, and it's been, in the mid-90s or whatever today, so lots of water is available for people, and yeah, the food's been fantastic. You want me to tell you about a few of the highlights?
Yeah, definitely. For those people that are going to either be out there tomorrow and get a chance to see some of those things that are going on, definitely share.
Well, here's kind of a cool one. You know, all these events generate such a huge amount of waste, and they've tried over the years to start using, like, recyclable plates and forks and so on. Maple Leaf, this restaurant, did a barbecue duck with an edible spoon. The spoon was made out of a pretzel. It was really cool. I mean, it was shaped like a spoon. It wasn't like just a pretzel with barbecue on it. It was shaped like a spoon, and it was tasty. It added to the flavor of the barbecue duck, and it was a great way to not create waste.
Look at you.
Yeah, and we stopped in at New Rebozo, which is an Oak Park restaurant. This guy Paco, Chef Paco, is there. It was originally owned by this guy Dudley Nieto. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to be emceeing a main stage presentation with Dudley Nieto and Diana Davila. It's called Mexico's Famous Milpas. And the milpas is a kind of farming technique that's been used in the Yucatan, other parts of Mexico, for like 7,000 years. It's just a brilliant agricultural technique. Basically involves planting the three sisters, beans and corn and squash. And all those vegetables kind of work together to help each other, like the beans grow up the corn stalks. The beans provide nitrogen in the soil, which the corn needs, and so on. And Dane, I'm looking at the schedule here. I noticed you're up, too, for a big egg presentation, high stakes, with Leanne Whippen.
Dave, it's not just a big egg. It is a big and also green egg.
Green egg, right.
Right. So, well, this is great.
It's a damn big egg.
You know that I love the barbecue scene. I love, everything about the whole grilling world. And, of course, we highlight that on a regular basis, as well as so many other things. And tailgating, of course, you can't have that, whether you're at a race or at a sporting event, without some kind of grill. And the big green egg is sort of the mysterious kind of golden, aspirational grill that a lot of people have. And so once they get it, they want to know how to use it. What are you going to cook on it? Well, you can cook almost anything, but we're going to be cooking steaks. It's going to be high steaks with the big green egg. Now, have you used one of those, Dave? Like a Kamado grill, one of those, and basically for the listeners who, they're the kind of egg shaped, and it's a very thick kind of ceramic Japanese style grill, basically.
And I believe the main advantage of them is that the heat remains very consistent throughout a cook, so you get a real even cook, and you can control the heat better. Speaking of trips and going to places you haven't been before, one of the cool things about events like this is because there's so much food, so many different types of food, is that people can try some food that they may never order in a restaurant, but that if it's sitting out there on the table and there's no additional charge for it, they're going to grab it. For instance, the Bristol was serving a beef tartare Now, tartare, of course, is raw meat, something many folks may not, you know, have the fortitude to order right off the menu.
Right.
But at the Bristol, they had, you know, like a tablespoon of this beef tartare on top of a chili-dusted chicharrón. It was just fantastic, and people were gobbling it down, you know. Now, some people, we've had it before. Other folks who may not have had it before may take the plunge, try something like that at an event like this, and find out they like it. And I think that's a huge advantage of a get-together like this, is that people are introduced to foods they may never have heard of before, may never have ordered off a menu before, but because it's here, they're trying different stuff, they're kind of in the mood to be adventurous, they'll give it a shot.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, Dave, and you kind of hit on it. Yeah, they're going to try maybe things and dishes that they wouldn't try, but also maybe they'll get an opportunity to try something from restaurants that they may have heard of, maybe not have heard of, but maybe have heard of, but would never necessarily kind of make that move to go to, where they get a chance to try one of the dishes, maybe meet the chef and do something. That's one of the things about it. It's really immersive as well. So for the Big Green Egg, we've also got Chris Goronsky, chef over there at the Gage. So that is going to be a lot of fun. And people know you, of course, from your writing, a lot of stuff for New City, but also an educator. I think that's one of the other cool parts about Chicago Gourmet. It isn't just a place to come, have some great cocktails, some wine. Certainly it is all of those things, but they've got all those kind of educational seminars and things going on.
They sure do. And, you know, about education, even for people who are in food media, as I am, we're introduced to all kinds of new restaurants here. For instance, at the Hamburger Hop last night, which is a part of Chicago Gourmet, there were, geez, I don't know, maybe 20 different restaurants making hamburgers. I had heard of most of those restaurants. The hamburger I liked most was from a place called D4 that I had never heard of before. And I was like, wow, now I know. That's the place I want to go. There's also one of the best things we had today was a lamb, just like a lamb stew on pita. It was really fantastic. It's from a place called Bernie's Lunch and Supper.
Wow.
Again, a place I'd kind of heard of, but had never been before. But now that name is in my head. So it's a way for, even if you're into food, as you and I are, you learn about new restaurants. And, of course, then there are the demos and so on, the presentations by chefs. And that's an opportunity for everybody to learn, not just civilians and people in media, but also other chefs. I see them in the audience here. You know, they're learning along with everybody else, because every chef has their own tricks about their own particular niche in the food world.
Bernie's Lunch and Summer, you know, you and I know that was probably the product of a very high marketing budget and some kind of a focus group and everything.
was
able to do that. Well, here's the thing. You kind of hit on it again, where you've got this diverse cuisine. It is Chicago. It represents Chicago, I think, more than any food festival. And I've covered and broadcast from so many of them from around the country, and they'll bring in, you know, talent from all over. And we certainly do a little bit of that. But this is really, it's called Chicago Gourmet for a reason. It really does showcase mostly Chicago's great food scene. And it is a very diverse food scene as well. So you're going to get high level stuff from all over the place, whether it's fine dining or street food. The other demo that I'm doing is called A Culinary Dream. And they got a name, you know, some of the demos, and that's what it's about. And we've got Chef Kevin Hickey from Duck Inn. We all know him from the Four Seasons, and of course his great place that's down towards the south side there. I think it's in Bridgeport, right, where he's taken some of these, you know, iconic Chicago foods like hot dogs and elevated them and gotten a lot of accolades. So he's going to be doing some of that, as well as, and this is a guy I know you and I discussed too, is Chef Edward Kim from Mott Street and Ruxpin. And he's going to be talking about kind of that fusion of a bunch of different cultures with his dish that he's going to be doing. So I'm excited to help MC some of these things, kind of help showcase some of the stuff that the chefs are doing. It's going to be a blast. And I know it's a little bit hot, but at least it's not raining. I think that's great.
It is. And you know what? They luck out every weekend. They hold this event for the last 10 years. It's been sunny and nice, a little hot today, but sunny, not raining. They actually conferred with Tom Skilling to pick this weekend.
Of course.
And every year it's at this time, because it's the least likely weekend in September to have rain, which I think is pretty cool. And it's worked. I mean, his prediction for this weekend has worked for the last decade.
So. Dave, and we'll let the listeners over talk with Dave Hammond. He is the dining and drinking editor for New City Magazine. But you'll see his work in the Chicago Tribune publications. Of course, we have him here occasionally as one of our favorite guys on the shows we do here on WGN Radio. But like now, 10 years in, and you see what a monster festival this is. And I think it was rated one of the top 7 festivals in the country, or must see things all over the country as far as kind of food events. But I always thought that weekend was scary, right? Because if you had, especially coming up, if you had a little bit of rain, or you could get a day where it's like windy and 40, but they have, I don't want to say lucked out. They've been blessed, and we've been blessed every time. It's been great.
Well, and they talked to Tom Skilling. It's science, bro.
Right, exactly. Right. Who would dare question Tom Skilling? He says, did I tell you? They're like, Tom, are you sure it's going to be nice? Hey, what did I tell you? So, you know, he's got all the moves. So ChicagoGourmet.org. I know that there are some tickets for some of the events. And last thing, Dave, before we let you go, or at least one of the last things, because we definitely want to get your social media and contact stuff, is what are your thoughts about building it? It's been sold out for so many years. They started building these extra events, expanding it out a couple days. How has that gone so far, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's, you know, they're selling them out. I mean, that's how well it's gone. These events sell out regularly. There are all these satellite events. So there's a Japanese Under the Stars event tonight that I'm going to be going to. There's a dance party in Willett Tower. There's things happening all over related to the event. And I think what's happening is people are coming in from out of town, and they want to, you know, after the main event is over, and Chicago Gourmet itself ends at 5 o'clock today and at 5 o'clock tomorrow, instead of going out and finding a restaurant, Chicago Gourmet provides other events related to the Chicago Gourmet main event, and people can go to that. And, you know, they're offering packages now. You can the hotel, food, you know, a few thousand dollars, you can, your whole weekend's taken care of by Chicago Gourmet.
Well, and some of them, and they've kind of done this too. So some of them are a little bit pricey and sold out, and some of them,
yeah,
I know they've created, yeah, things to kind of fit a lot of people's budgets. Some are very, very affordable, and I think there are still tickets available too. So go to ChicagoGourmet.org and check out some of the things that you may want to try in order to get in on some of what is going on this weekend. And so, Dave, before we let you go, kind of share some of the things that you're doing, ways that people can, of course, they'll bump into you, right, at Chicago Gourmet. They'll see you at some of the demos and things that you're doing tomorrow. I know that I will run into you as well. But other than that, where can people find a Dave Hammond?
Well, I'm newcity.com. I'm in the restaurant section there. I write regularly for the Tribune. And also in oakpark.com. It's a local paper in Oak Park. It's the online presence of Wednesday Journal. And I have a weekly column there. And I've been writing for last week, this week, and next week about contributions of indigenous people. In Oak Park, they've declared Columbus Day Indigenous Peoples Day. And this is causing some uproar among some, of course. But I think we have a lot to be thankful for to the indigenous folks here. And that's including the Milpa, which will be the subject of the demo tomorrow with Dudley Nieto and Diana Davila. The fruits of that indigenous innovation are still being felt today. Those are where people can find me. Restaurant.
And last thing, Dave, your social media, so people can follow you on Twitter, Instagram, and whatever.
Sure. It's David Hammond on Facebook, DC Hammond on Instagram.
One of the best in the business. We'll see him tomorrow on site, as we are hearing him right now on site. Dave, thanks so much for joining.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.